Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayankaravavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Tati Tattva Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 2, The Glories of the Eternal Associates of Krishna, page 70. In your house, the house of the Rishnis, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Vishnu, stays because it is his nature, Swayam, not for any other reason. Right, so he's staying because it's his nature, not because he has to, or he needs to, or because they've done something that's forcing him to stay there, or, you know, somebody's outside with an army, so he's staying in the house because he doesn't want to go outside. You know, it's just, that's his nature, is to reciprocate with the devotees. So the devotees are serving him, and so therefore then he is reciprocating it. That's his nature. That's why he stays. Your house is beyond matter, Anir Raya Vartmani. And you live here, Vartatam. Yeah, okay, so, yes. Yeah. No, and then the house is beyond matter because everything's being connected to Krishna. And we see is that and they stay there in that environment. That's the environment. It means where they are, they serve Krishna. You know, where there's service of Krishna, that's where they are, right? Krishna destroys Swarga and liberation. Vira Maha. He does not give Swarga to his devotees since it is material. He does not give them liberation since it is indifferent to bhakti. Right? Technically, you could say it's not material because it's outside the jurisdiction of the modes of nature, you know, and the material functioning. But because it's indifferent to bhakti, it's still a material perspective. So therefore, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are all material. And people who are absorbed in that are materialists. Even if they're big jnanis and yogis in that, they're actually materialists. The position they've situated themselves in is that of transcendence. So in that way, we'll call them spiritualists or transcendentalists. So if we're looking at the processes that they're following that are useful in Krishna consciousness, then we'll look at it that they're spiritualists. But if we're looking at it from mentalities, mundane means turning away from God. Bahirmukh, right? And spiritual means turning towards. So the sadhaka, he's considered spiritual, even though he may be materially situated and still have an interest in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? But he's engaged in that connected to Krishna. Right? That makes the difference. That makes the difference. Does that make sense? So it's a very important point, because generally we take the situation as the most important thing, when actually it's the application of the situation that's the most important thing. You know what I'm saying? Like we have a very nice kitchen all arranged and everything, but you go in, you clean the kitchen, all the pots are clean, everything's in its place, you have all the ingredients for cooking, they've all been prepared, they're laid out nicely, and all that, you bring all the pots and pans, everything's set up to cook, so all you have to do is start cooking. Right? We could even light the fire. Right? But unless someone cooks, it's just a waste of time. Right? You'll say, if nobody comes and cooks, but we prepared everything, cleaned everything, scrubbed everything, got all the vegetables, cut them up all perfectly, ground all the spices, did all the different things. But nobody cooks. No one will say, "Oh, that was a nice endeavor." Yeah. No, wow. You have the international who sets up the best kitchen championships. This guy's definitely going to be on the podium. Does that make sense? They'll say it's a waste of time. So that's the whole thing, is because cooking is the main. So for the jiva, bhakti is the main. If they're not doing that, they're only engaged in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. They're wasting their time because it gets nothing for the soul. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So that's that. So because it's indifferent to bhakti, it's basically useless. Means as a situation, it's nice, but if being in that situation, one then doesn't see devotional service as the main, then it's a loss. It's a waste of time. So we see here is that we're saying, for the devotees, that the situation is there is transcendental, but they're serving Krishna in that. And so Krishna is very pleased to come and take part in their house, right? He comes and stays in their house. Like that. Is this Yudhishthira Maharaj?
Yeah.
So Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Krishna comes and just stays in his house. He comes with all his queens and they stay, and everybody hangs out and all that because it's transcendental. So that's the point that is being made, is that the transcendental position is the best position. But if you're not using it to please Krishna, then it falls short. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah.
So that's why he doesn't give swarga. That's obviously material and temporary. And the liberation, it's not material, but it's still also, unless you connect to Krishna, it'll be temporary. And what would the soul be doing? Does that make sense? Yeah. He protects them at his lotus feet. He stays in your house in this manner. He lets you see and touch him. He discusses with you. He sleeps, sits, and eats here. He is also related to you by marriage and by blood. This is a compound like Shaka Partiva with the middle element missing. He has a relationship with the Rishnis by marriage and by body. He exists with these two relationships. Some king spoke thus to Ugrasena.
Maharaj, the middle term, what is it? Is it connected to the grammar?
Yes. It means a compound. So this is a compound like the Shaka Partiva. So it must be with the middle element. There's some connection. But what's the connection? The connection is Krishna, that relationship.
So he's trying to say that your connection with him is direct, it's without...
Yes, him. Yes.
Is that the message?
Yes, he's related by marriage and blood, so on the one side he's married in the family, but also he's has that relationship, he's also connected there. Mm-hmm. So from all the angles he's connected. And then, but what is that bond? That bond is then the bond of devotion, of bhakti. Yeah. Anucheda 121. Shakyanam yadavanam ka karishyati mahatmanam yatra yutanam ayuta lakshenaste sa ahuka. Who can count all the great yadavas when among them King Ugrasena alone was accompanied by an entourage of 30 trillion attendants. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.42. Ahuka is Ugrasena. The present tense indicates clearly that they are there always. They are eternal associates. Sukadev spoke thus. Right, so, how amazing they are. and they're always there, so it's always an eternal position. So this is just his attendants or bodyguards, and this is the main people. You know, then there'll be all the extra guys. This is just, you know, his people.
We were reading Lagu Bhagavatamrita, and there's a quote from the second canto where Brahma gets the darshan of Vaikuntha. And I found it, you know, I never paid attention that, you know, there's a description of Vaikuntha, very detailed actually. And it is mentioned that the streets of Vaikuntha are always full with people. So I was thinking, wow, here is full of people. There is what's going on? But there's no space. So it's I guess it's just the feeling. So it's festive. It's like, but it is said that it's like, you know, full.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, let's say if you have a, let's say you have a whole bunch of really good friends, you know, you want to spend time, but somehow or another, let's say the room where you're sitting is small, you know, so, you know, a few are sitting on the couch, some are sitting on the arms of the couch, yeah. You know, some are sitting on the table, some are sitting on the chairs, you know, like this, you're comfortable.
Yeah.
Because it's not a matter of the crowding, it's who you're with. Mm. Right? You know, so if the street's crowded with people you don't know and don't want to be around, then it's a problem. If it's people you want to be around, then, you know. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, yeah. So that's the whole thing. And full doesn't necessarily mean that there's a problem you can't get through. You know, it's not like it's not Mahatma Gandhi Road. You know,
so. Yeah, I got that picture.
No, it won't be that. It just means it's full. It's such that, you know, it's a matter of perspective. Like I was saying, we were driving the car with one devotee. You know, so in Sweden, we were in Sweden, and I think we were going from what do you call it? Maybe we were coming from Almvik to the city. And so through the country and everything's nice, but once you get close to the city, you know, you have the bigger, wider roads, like, you know, the six-lane highway kind of thing. And, you know, coming in, it's big, it's still highway, it's still not, you're just on the edge of the town. And from the car, on the side of the road that we were on, and on the other side, the maximum you could see was six cars. And it's not like they're all packed together. There's, you know, one here, one over there, one there, a couple coming by over there. Six cars on a six-lane highway. And the devotees go, wow, I really hate the city, you know, so much traffic, you know, so much congestion. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, you know? It's like that, you know. You know, it's like, you know, six cars would just be in the space of this room, you know, if it was Calcutta or Los Angeles or something, you know, like that. Tel Aviv, yeah, it's just insane. But he was like freaking out. So full just means it's nice, it's comfortable, it's, you know, it's not empty.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go out on the street and you kind of, where's all the people, you know? That should be full. You know, like you go to let's say a public place, like a mall or someplace, you know, or a place where it's kind of like one of those eating courtyards. You know, you expect to see people there, and everybody's going, and everyone's happy, and so it should be enough people that it creates the mood that, yeah, something's going on. So it'll be like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we got that feeling yesterday during the Gita Mela.
Oh, okay.
It was full of people. I mean, packed.
Yeah, yeah. Did you go up on the stage, or you just sat
outside? No, from the stage you can hear the kirtan, and mm-hmm. It was really sweet.
Mm.
Everywhere.
Mm.
All the way up to Rasamrita Kunj. I was
riding
from there. As soon as I came up to the road, the Bankhi road,
mm-hmm.
I heard the kirtan from Gita Mela. So it's very loud, but it's sweet. It's not like,
yeah, you know, yeah, no, it's distorted.
Came here, I had to navigate through the crowd. It was like really full.
Oh yeah, it also was Sunday yesterday. Sunday, yeah. So very full.
Yeah.
I'm just confused on one small little point. When you said bumpy road, yeah. I mean, that could take you from here all the way to Calcutta.
I mean, they're different now that we're in India with the screaming.
Oh, okay.
Bumpy it's actually on the verge, because I'm on a bicycle. I'm actually, you know, falling off. That's
oh, okay.
So otherwise, everything else. Is
so bumpy. After, let's say, after the Bosnian War, what the streets looked like, that's the bumpy road.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly. Yeah, now I got it. Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing. So sometimes some devotees get really worried that it's going to, oh no, that's an anxiety. But the point is they're just, what it is that should be understood is that people are looking for happiness. Right? They're looking for relationships, interactions. They're looking for all that. But it hasn't necessarily worked out for them. Right? Because you see, like, the children like to be around where there's a lot of people and a lot of happening, or the teenagers like to go to programs where there's tons of people and everything. But somehow or another, they've had a bad experience. Why? Because they're in the material world. So even if everything goes perfectly, it still won't satisfy the soul. So then there develops that negative attitude that these are the cause, that there's too many people, you know, or that we have close relations, or, you know, the real intensity of the relations, or you have duties or obligations, that these give trouble. So we think that this is what's causing the problem. So then they want to give up all that. So when they hear that in Vaikuntha, there also has all these, you know, nice things, then they're thinking, oh, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
But actually, they're only taking the negative because they tried to apply the positive in the wrong place. You know, like if somebody's very enthusiastic to eat, but he goes over to, you know, that display that in the window that's always there, you know, it's not real food, and but it looks good, but he tries to eat that, and then he'll get it bad, and, you know, no, you have to go over to the table inside. So, Viti, next the author addresses contrary perceptions on the forms of the Lord's associates. He states that... He states that the activities of the associates of Krishna, in which they maintain bodies, which appear and disappear, are only an imitation produced by the Lord's Maya. They are eternal and can never be destroyed because they are always sheltered and protected by Him personally. Anucheda 1:22. The qualification for being an associate of the Lord is complete steadiness. This is showed by an example. As the Almighty Supreme Lord would seat Himself upon His exalted throne, there in the assembly hall, He shone with unique effulgence, illuminating all the quarters of space, surrounded by the Yadus, lions among men. The best of the Yadus appeared like the moon amidst many stars. Steadiness. The meaning is clear. Krishna showed His universal form to Duryodhana, shows the Yadus that they are His avarana, protective associates. This is well known from the Yudhyama Parvata of Mahabharata. So the steadiness is there. They're always there. So He's always surrounded. So avaranas means they're always there. There's the associates. It means these are there. It's not that it's just crowded with people. You know, they're the avaranas. And so that steadiness is the main thing. That's why we see it's considered a major, position when one becomes stable in devotional service. Right? Because before that, maybe one performing devotional service, one's unstable because of one's distraction or attachment to the Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. But as that becomes clear, that one is convinced that only devotional service and nothing else, then one finds that one becomes steady. You know, and then as one gets his taste and attachment, you become more and more steady. In other words, you're steady, so once you get a taste, you're more steady. You get an attachment, more steady. You come to bhava, more steady. But when you come to prema, that's then the perfection of steadiness. Because anything below prema can be adjusted. It may become unsteady, but generally speaking, you know, if one's on the path, there's not necessity. It's a matter of time. There's no question that it won't come to the perfectional platform. It's just a matter of time. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Anucheda 123. The contrary conduct of the yadus described at the end of the 11th canto is maya, similar to the bewilderment which overcame Arjuna. Their speech, insulting the sages, was arranged by the Lord who appears in the world to benefit the Brahmins and cows, in order to announce that the curse of the Brahmin should not be counteracted. Right? So, the cows and the Brahmins shouldn't be, you know. So, if his associates, things will happen. Then you know no one else can say, oh no, but I'm a devotee, so it doesn't matter. I can do what I want and any bad results won't come. But if it's happening to the yadus, then who are the Lord's associates? Then we can't say that, you know, I'm exempt. So he's trying to establish that Brahman's curse, then it's not going to work out good for you. Like that. The Sita stolen by Ravana was also illusory, according to Agni Purana. Thus Krishna speaks of those final pastimes to Daruka. Tvam tu mad dharmam asthaya jnana nishta upekshaka manmaya rachitam etam vigyayo pashamam braja. You, Daruka, should be firmly situated in devotion to me, fixed in spiritual knowledge and unattached to material considerations. Understanding these pastimes to be a display of my illusory potency, you should remain peaceful. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:30-49. You, Daruka, fixed in knowledge, knowing the truth of my pastimes, trusting asthaya, my nature of associating with my associates as an equal and of protecting my devotees, knowing that this disappearance pastime revealed at this time to be my illusory work. Being indifferent to because this is illusory work, because they're eternal, but it's just they go from the vision of the ordinary person. Right? That's all. That's that. It's like Prabhupada gives the example, quoting from the Acharya, like a magician. He can make it look like, you know, he's just been killed or cut in half or burnt to ashes, or, you know, he can do all these things, but in actuality he's not. It's just a show. It's just part of the pastime. It's entertaining. Right? So then Krishna is doing this just because then it's another flavor of the pastime. It moves on. Does that make sense? You know, but for the materialist, then they'll think, oh, see, you know, God and his associates died and all that. But it's actually not. Yes.
So can we say, Maharaj, that the Aprakat Leela is eternally going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then Prakat, as the Aprakat is going on, the Prakat is manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Then unmanifest goes into Aprakat again. Then, you know, in a certain universe, during a certain time, again, it expands and then goes back like that.
Yes, yes. Because it's basically is that the Aprakat is always going on. But then Krishna gives the opportunity that the living entities, all living entities, then are able to see the pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the goal of the universe is to bring people back to Godhead, then there must be an inspiration for doing that.
Yeah.
Right? So then they can see where they're going, what's going on. It's like a preview. You know? So it's like a
teaser.
Yeah, a teaser. Yeah, like that. And so, but you know, it just runs a little bit longer. But when you can say, "Oh, but you know, 125 year teaser," but the point is that's 120 compared to eternity. So I mean, you know, it's a drop. It is just a teaser. You know, so all the major aspects, all the major things that have been given that would be very attractive, because there's unlimited. Just like Krishna performs the Govardhan Leela. But there's unlimited way, detail, fineness of how he can make some little difference. You know, we hear a few of the pastimes going on while he's lifting the Govardhan Hill. But that was 24, that was the real 24/7. means nobody slept, nobody, no, they just all were there looking at Krishna and interacting. So what we describe, you know, we describe it in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, even if you got into some more elaborate kind of discussion, it would go a couple hours, but we're talking, okay, that's 2 hours out of 24, and then there's another 6 days of that. Mm. So the finity that's there, so the major points, enough that we can be inspired in that. Because if you see too much, then you can't accommodate. You know, so it's just enough to inspire, and then you take up the process by that association, and gradually, gradually, more and more becomes revealed, becomes something like that. So, yeah. Being indifferent to lamentation arising by external vision, free from agitation of the heart, upasamam, attain me, vraja. The word too, it's interesting that vraja means to attain Krishna. You know, give up all other and just surrender to me, but the center of the cosmos is called vraja, because that surrender and attaining Krishna is the greatest. So it's known as vraja. The word tu indicates that others would be bewildered, but it is not suitable for Daruka to be bewildered, since Daruka is eternal, having appeared from Vaikuntha. The word etam, this pastime, indicates one should not explain it in a different way, since he had just received the meaning of that pastime. The pastime was not what it appeared to be. The Lord spoke thus to Daruka. Anucheda 124. Three verses explain this. Rajan parasya tanu brij janana pyayeha maya vidambanam avehi yata natasya shrishtvat manedam anuvishya vihriti chante samhritya chatma mahi no paratas saaste. O King, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this illusion, he entered into it, played within it for some time, and at last destroyed it, withdrawing from it by his own power. Thus he remains. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-11. So by his own power he goes. By his own potency he sets it up, by his own potency he plays it, by his own potency he removes it, but he remains.
This point, some devotees, they turn into an argument. Well, I've heard it myself, that the Boma Leela is not real. It's like a play. But then in the other places, it is mentioned also in the Bhagavatam and other books that Krishna comes with all of his eternal associates,
mm-hmm.
and then displays his pastimes.
Right.
So it's apparent contradiction. Then here it is mentioned it's a play, means he's playing, but it's not necessarily it's who he is. And then in the other place, it mentions, no, he comes as he is, as Swayam, and, you know, like that. And then he displays his wonderful pastimes mm-hmm. here, on this mundane plane.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we reconcile those?
Yes, because it goes back to what's Krishna's nature, right? Krishna's nature is that he reciprocates with the devotees according to their affection. So it's a display of means the pastimes are the display of the interaction between Krishna and the devotees, right? You know, based on activities that you know, can be done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, based around pleasing Krishna's senses. So you're engaging your senses and pleasing Krishna's senses. So that's who he is. That's real. So the point is why is it? I mean, in this case, means you look at two. We'll look at the first one. Why is it called a play? Because a play is performed and then it disappears.
Right.
Right? So the whole point is because we are on the material plane, we're not on the transcendental plane, we can't see the eternal pastimes. But Krishna manifests them, you know, for a period of time within our context that we can see them. So therefore it's a performance of his pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still just as real. Because it's temporary, that's not the point, because they're eternally going on. Just you get the opportunity to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this difficulty that it's being a play, it's not real, but the point is what does God have to do? Like children. Is it real that the kids are running around in the background, in the yard or in the living room, yelling and screaming and laughing and playing and rolling around? Is that real? Is it going on?
Yeah.
But do they need to accomplish something?
No.
It's just interaction.
Yeah.
Right? So the whole point is Krishna being the Supreme Lord, there's nothing to accomplish for him. So it's just interacting with the devotees. So what's the problem if it's a play? The point is it's real. Krishna's real. The devotees are real. The Dham's real. Their relationship and interaction is real. But it's not like they need to accomplish something. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the difficulty. They put it out of the play. It's not real. No, but I want something real. What's real? You know. Getting hit over the head with a rock or something? Is that what you mean? What do you mean by real?
I guess the struggle for existence is real.
Yeah, so if you want to struggle for existence and call that reality, go ahead. You want to go to the spiritual world where it's eternal, then there's no struggle. Then if that's not interesting to you, then you're already here. You don't have to worry. You can stay. It's not that Maya is trying to kick you out or something. You know? I think that was the end of the song. It said, there was this thing about, how you say it? It's a folk song. Sinner goes to the sun. He says, no, no place for sinners. Goes to the moon. He goes to the stars. He goes to the wind. He goes to, you know, the forest. He goes to everything. No one will take him because he's a sinner. But then he goes to the devil. The devil says, step right in. You're welcome. So you can stay here as long as you like. No problem. You know, you've already been here for billions of lifetimes, so I mean, what's another billions of lifetimes? And we say this is real, but it's just a flash, it has nothing to do with the soul. This is the one that's not real. So in other words, whether it's in the spiritual world or here, it's just going to be pastimes. You're just biding your time, you're saying, I have to do this and I have to do that, and then you're dead, and then what happens to it? You know, where is the Roman Empire? You know, where is Napoleon's empire? You know, where's the Russian Empire? What is his name? Alexander? Where's his? Where are these? You know, Cleopatra, where are they? You know, so you could say, as this is so important, it has to be done, and then it's gone. So, how is this real? And. It's just the pastime also, that the soul is thinking, I am the controller and I am the enjoyer, you know, and I have to, become wealthy and well-positioned and powerful and, you know, the controller and enjoyer. And they work with whatever it is, the field that they're within, and within the context of their conditioning that they can do. You know, it's like you say, let's say Malcolm X. He did what he did because he was really smart. You know, if he wasn't smart, he wouldn't be able to do that. You know, so he worked with his conditioning. There's plenty of other people that didn't like the situation, but they weren't. He was smart and he could work it out. So they're just working within their conditioning. You know, Napoleon was cool to sleep 2 hours a day. He was fine with that. Because he liked management so much that he would rather be administrating the empire than sleeping. So he slept 2 hours a day. Yes.
Also the illusory aspect or the play aspect is Maya Devi covering the vision of the conditioned souls from envisioning the play, envisioning the pastime. It's not the pastime itself is
illusory.
Illusory. Or like, it's not real. Mm. It's real. It's always happening. But the conditioned soul is not qualified to see. That's why their vision is
covered.
Not that the pastime itself is
covered. Yeah. So that also, because you see, is that like the Kamsa doesn't see Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and, you know, the wrestlers don't, like that. So that's where the play is. But at the same time, it's just a matter of nicely interacting with the devotees. You know, it's just like, what do people spend time doing? Right? It means the people work very hard at their career, get lots of money, establish all their, you know, their house, their position, their yacht, their car, you know, whatever it is. Then, do they only do that? Is that the only reason? They just work and that's it, they never do anything else? Or they're looking forward to those moments when they can be with family or friends or, you know, relative, whatever is that's close, and just relax and enjoy the facilities. So is there something to do then? Right? They're having an evening, you know, everyone comes to their place at, you know, 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock, you know, like that, and stays until, you know, 1, 2 in the morning. Is there something to do and accomplish? No, they just sit around and talk and eat and drink and laugh and joke and, you know, goof on each other and, you know, talk about remembrances and stuff like that. You know, like that. So that's what they're doing all those things for. And so the person, no, I want something real, but what they want real is those situations. And then they're complaining the Lord has those situations, and that's a play, but what I'm doing, that's real? It's like, you know, we have to be more thoughtful. So that, we are seeing the spiritual pastimes of the Lord as just a play, and we're taking that in a mundane kind of context, that it's not real. That's the Maya that Prabhu's talking about here. Mm. They can't see the real, because that's real. What people do here, Krishna hangs out with the Yadus or with the Brajbasis. We're just trying to copy that here. It's not real. You know, because there, you perform the that experience lasts eternally. Well, here, the next morning, you can't even remember what happened the night before. You know, it's kind of like, did we have fun? Why is there a horse in the living room? You know. No? Yeah. Okay. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. That was Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-11. Parikshit was sad that all people saw the Lord and his associates in this superficial way. Sukadev comforted him by explaining the true nature of the Lord's pastimes. Understand that the birth and death activities of the Lord, which are like those of the jiva, are actually a resemblance to the jiva's life produced by Maya. Those actions are not real. The birth and death of the jiva, who has a body made of semen, blood, is full of suffering. The appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Lord, who has a spiritual body, is full of bliss, it is said. Right, so he's doing these times, he doesn't disappear, he just disappears from our vision. You know? You know, it's like the person standing there in the doorway, and you know, the dog or the kid is watching or something like that, and they kind of take the blanket, throw it in the air, and then they go behind the door. And then when the blanket drops, no one's there, and then they think, oh, what happened? You know. So that's all. It's just some fun. It is said, Deva Kyam, Deva Rupinyam, Vishnu Sarva Guha Shaya, Avirasid Yata Pracham, Dishindur Iva Pushkalaha. The Supreme Lord, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising in the eastern horizon. Because Devaki was one of the same category as Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.8. Swashanta rupe shvitarai swa rupair abhyardhama neshvanu kampitatma paravaresho mahad amsha yukto yajo pijato bhagavan yatagnihi. Being compassionate in mind, when his devotees are afflicted by the demons, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, though not having material birth, appears within this world along with all his Vishnu expansions, since he is the Lord of all forms of God and devatas. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.15. Right, so it's his pastime to come. When there's a problem, they come and take care of these things. But it's not that everything being him, he's always here. But it's just then you see his form as Bhagavan and can appreciate the activities. Krishna Jumani Nimloche. Krishna has disappeared like the sun. Right? So like the sun, that's the example. We see it sets, so it's gone, but it's still there. The next farther over, it's still, you know. It means it goes down here, we say the sun is set, the sun's gone, but over in Bombay it's still there. When it sets there, it's still there in Dubai. When it sets there, it's still, you know, over in the Holy Land, it's still there. It keeps going. Then, you know, they say, what's next over there? Gibraltar, you know. And then after that, it'll be over, you know, somewhere over there, you know, in Florida or something, then L.A., then, you know, it just keeps going.
It never sets, though.
Yeah.
Never sets, though, in Great Britain.
That's because it doesn't rise. If it doesn't come up, it never sets. So in that way, even though they don't have an empire anymore, they can still claim the sun never, you know, sets on the British Empire because it never comes up in the first place. Yeah. Pardarshya tapa tapasham avitrita drisham drinam adayan taradad yastu swa bimbam loka lochanam. The Lord, having shown his form, the center of attraction for all eyes, then took that form and disappeared from the men who had not. And disappeared from the men who had not performed austerities but had attained the Lord's mercy and were continually craving a vision of his form. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.11. Anadeyam aheyam cha rupam bhagavato hae avir bhava tiro bhavav ashyokte graha mochane. Nothing can be added to or subtracted from the Lord's form. His appearance and disappearance are said to be simply coming into this world and leaving it. Brahmanda Purana. Do we need a bracket, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Though sometimes the Lord appears and disappears like a jiva, this is only an appearance produced by Maya. So that's the Maya, is that it appears that he's appearing and disappearing. Like that, or it appears that there's some problems happening, or, you know, the devotees are, you know, difficulties come up. It is like the actions of a magician. Though it is false, the magician can show his or someone else's birth and death. Someone exhibits death as follows. In front of a king, a magician approaches a stack of valuable garments, jewels, coins, and so forth, given by the king. Taking a jeweled necklace, the magician tells the king, "Now I am taking this necklace, and you can't have it. Now I am taking this gold coin, and you can't have it. I am taking 7,000 horses, and you can't have them." Then the magician creates the illusion that the king's children, grandchildren, brothers, and other family members have attacked each other with weapons, and that nearly all are dead from the violent quarrel. The king observes these things taking place before him as he sits in the giant assembly hall. The magician says, O king, I no longer wish to live, just as I have studied magic. So also, by the mercy of the lotus feet of my guru, I have learned the mystic meditation of yoga. One is supposed to give up one's body while meditating in the holy place. I will die in front of you, since you are a holy place yourself. Thus speaking, the magician sits down in swastika asana, fixes himself in pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, and samadhi, and silence. A moment later, a strong fire generated by his trance blazes forth out of his body and burns it to ashes. Then all the wives of the magician, distraught with lamentation, enter into that fire. 3 or 4 days later, after the magician has returned to his own province, he sends a letter to the king. O king, invisibly taking all your sons, grandsons, and brothers who are in good health, along with all the jewels and other items given by you, I have come to my house in good health. Please, therefore, give me whatever you consider fitting remuneration for the wisdom of the magic that has been exhibited before you. In this way, even by ordinary magic, one can simulate death. So you can see is that the magicians before were much more skilled than the present. The present, they could just do something with a card or... But what they could do before like that was...
Also, he took all the wealth and everything, and then he's asking another remuneration after that.
Because that was already given now that I made the show. Now what do you want to do?
He took what he wanted.
The example explained in the verse... I alone have created this confusion of quarrel and fighting with weapons arising from the sage's curse. And following that, I have entered into that scene and played with mortals for a moment by taking up the reeds. When I withdrew from that show my own powers and now remain separate. Oh, then I withdrew from that show by my own powers and now remain separate. Sardarta Darshini 11:31-11. So that's the thing, is everybody is very impressed and working for things that, you know, seemingly are that on one definition you say are not real. You know, they want that interaction. You know, it's like the child, the small child. But with time, the small child's not a small child anymore, they're big. Right? Then they grow up, they get married, then everyone looks forward to the grandchildren and then interacting with them, and, you know, like this. So all these things are temporary, they're not real. But everyone looks forward to them. You know. Does that make sense? Or someone telling that, something's important or what they've done is so amazing and fabulous. People want to hear all these things. You know, and yes, it may be in one context, but compared to someone else, how good is it? You know? Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Narada has said concerning his own body. So basically it comes down to that aspect of it's where the difficulty comes up is karma or jnana. I mean, it's either karma that he's doing those activities so he's like one of us. Right? So I want something more serious. But the point is when they say real, then are you considering, then you're considering karma real, because then you're saying the Lord's like that. What I'm doing is, do I want something that isn't temporary? Or you're looking at it from the impersonal point of view, where you're seeing that the spiritual is the opposite. So therefore, if he's doing these things and they're not real, then what's the real thing? Right? So when they think he's just ordinary, that's that. Or when he thinks, oh, it's not there, but I want something real, I want something beyond, that's from the impersonal. Because they're worried, if it's not real, then where am I going to get something? So they're attached to liberation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's all it is. All the impurities go back to karma and jnana. So it's just those impurities. So as you understand, you have that faith, the heart becomes purified, Krishna reveals, then these kind of problems go away. So they're also temporary. So it's the pastime of the living entity coming back to his natural original position. Right? Narada has said concerning his own body, pratyujyamane maitam shudham bhagavatim tanum arabdha karma nirvano nyapatat pancha bhautikaha. Having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the Lord, the body made of five material elements with karmas relating to the present body fell away. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.6.28. Know that the activities, ihaha, of the associates of Krishna, parasya, in which they maintain bodies, tanubrit, i.e. the yadus, which appear and disappear, jananapyaya, are only an imitation produced by the Lord's maya. Right? So that they're temporary, that's the illusion. Hmm. It is similar to a magician, not to ha. The magician is alive, but shows that he is killed, burned, and then shows that he creates a new body. It is not surprising, since the Lord has inconceivable Shakti to create the universe, etc. That is explained in the second part of the verse. Thus, for the foolish people, shadow forms of Balaram and others are introduced in the description of the illusory pastime to cause a different perception. In Skanda Purana, Lakshmana's death should not be accepted. In the Narayana Kavacha, it is shown that Balaram is acknowledged as the eternal protector of the worshipper, having powers more extraordinary than Sesha's. Does that make sense? So if we look at it from our perspective, then it becomes difficult. We look at it from the side of the Lord, that he's always there performing. It's just what pastime he wants to perform where and for how much time, that, and he's the independent Lord in that. Then you see that's his pastime. That's his suru. So,
yeah.
If we try to look at it from our side in time and space, that's where the difficulty comes up. Jarasandha also says, Tava Rama Yadi Shraddha Yudhyasva Deryam Udvaha Hitva Va Mash Charais Chinnam Deham Svara Yahi Mam Jahi. You, Balaram, should gather your courage and fight with me. If you think you can do it, you may either give up your body when it is cut to pieces by my arrows and thus attain to heaven, or else kill me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:50-18. Sridhar Swami gives the correct meaning to this. Thinking that Balaram's body was indestructible, out of dissatisfaction, he speaks the alternative, kill me. Right, so he's pointing out that these position is there, that you know, you fight with me, and if you can, then you know, you'll give up your body when it is cut to pieces by my arrows. Then he understands that can't be done. So then the other alternative is you kill me. You know, because you're not going to die, so therefore.
Like Ravana tries to Narada Muni's body.
Sorry?
Like
Ravana, yeah. Because he tries to cut him, you know, he takes a sword and this goes through. Nothing happens, you know, and then it's kind of like, okay, maybe we don't mess with this guy. And Narada Muni says, you can't kill me because I have a spiritual body. But that you attempted to, you know, then on the platform of bodily aggression, then there'll be a reaction for you because you're not acting on the spiritual platform. So therefore, then there's a particular curse. You know, that would be suitable for that, from what I understand, it would have to be something on the physical platform.
You know? I think it's something you'll be harassed by the monkeys.
Okay.
Trying to harass.
Yeah. So it's always physical gets a physical reaction, mental gets mental, intellectual, intellectual, pride gets pride. Whatever medium you work with, you know, whatever set, that's the one you get the reaction. Yeah? Loka bhiramam swatanum. His body was most attractive to all people. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-6. Sridhar Swami comments on this, saying, his body could not be burned, since the Lord has power superior to the powers of a yogi. Footnote 3. The Lord rejected the erroneous process of dying at will, which is practiced by yogis. He did not burn up his body by meditating on fire, because his body was attracted to all people and was the object of contemplation and meditation, right? Why would he burn up his body? Because that body is the one that everyone's attracted to. At the same time, it's eternal, so there's no question of anything happening. This fire comes from him. You know, it's not going to, his energy can't overcome him. But the point is, what would be the benefit anyway? Even if you're just saying, oh, he's showing example, what would be the example? The skillful explanations are established by Kaimutya. He says, even today's worshippers see that beautiful form. Thus he agrees with what has been said. The worshippers see the Lord with his associates. It is not possible that they die because they have spiritual bodies. So today, everyone's seeing the Lord and his associates. Is there eternal? Anucheta 125. Since the associates are protected by Krishna, they cannot be destroyed. Krishna brought the son of his guru back from the planet of death in the boy's self-same body. And as the ultimate giver of protection, he saved you when you were burned by the weapon of Ashwatthama. He conquered in battle even Shiva, who deals death to the agents of death. And he sent the hunter Jara directly to Vaikuntha in his human body. How could such a personality be unable to protect himself? Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-12. Right, so all these different things is he is controlling. So why would he be affected by death? Vritti, BBT purport. To mitigate his own and Parikit Maharaja's distress at the narration of Lord Krishna's departure from this world, Sri Sukadeva Goswami here gives several clear examples, proving that Lord Krishna is far beyond the influence of death. Although the son of Lord Krishna's spiritual master, Sandipani Muni, had been taken by death, the Lord brought him back in the same body. Similarly, the power of Brahman cannot touch Lord Krishna, since Maharaj Parikit, though burned by the Brahmastra weapon, was easily saved by the Lord. Brahman or Brahma? It should be Brahma, no? Because it's a Brahmastra, it's not a Brahman astra. Lord Shiva was clearly defeated by Lord Krishna in the battle with Banasura, and the hunter Jara was sent to a Vaikuntha planet in his same human body. Death is an insignificant expansion of Lord Krishna's external potency. It cannot possibly act upon the Lord himself. Those who actually understand the transcendental nature of the Lord Krishna's activities will find convincing evidence in these examples. Let's say another example. Just say we're saying a play. So you have the audience. And so the curtain is closed. People can't see anything. Then the curtain opens. And then they can see the play. But people come on the stage, go off the stage, you know, and then I'm going to this place, you know, and they walk off, you know, and then everybody leaves, and then coming on this side is the person, and then it's the new place. And so in the same place on the stage, you know, it becomes, you know, Vrindavan, it becomes Dwarka, it becomes all these different places. Right? So yeah. From the stage, it's that. But if you're backstage, you can see all what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When people walk off stage, they're standing there with you. You know, but the audience can't see. They're seeing the next aspect.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah, that's when you explained it previously, then I was thinking that we can get access to this scene, you know, from the sight of the acharyas and the Srimad Bhagavatam, because otherwise if we the audience, external audience, mm-hmm. we don't have an access there.
No.
We see what's shown, which is a play.
Yes.
But what they explain, it's an internal vision of the play, which gives us completely different, or we can say broadens our vision.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's very narrow.
Yeah. And also, you have the point is for an actor, acting is real.
Yeah.
You know. And the audience, then, what's being projected may seem like it's not because it's a temporary thing. But at the same time, they are sitting there, they are experiencing, oh, that's real. They did pay real money. You know, otherwise they don't get through the real door. You know? No?
Yeah.
Okay, those who actually understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's activities will find convincing evidence in these examples. Wait, those who understand the transcendental, they'll find convincing evidence. Those who don't understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities won't find convincing evidence. They'll say, no, no, but that doesn't, you know, establish anything. Or, no, that doesn't prove it. So it's just a matter of, do you appreciate? Because it says, one who understands Krishna's, how his appearance and disappearance are transcendental, then they can understand on the transcendental platform. And if they don't understand that, well, why will they understand the rest of it?
Yeah. I even heard that an argument that Vaidhi Mark is real, but Raga is just an idea, it's not that real. Because, you know, it's something which is rarely given and practiced. So it's in its own category, so we shouldn't really worry about it, but we should concentrate on the, you know, like, normal or regular path that is given, you know, in each Manvantara or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is given like once in a day of Brahma, so you shouldn't really worry about that.
Yeah, means you have the aspect of basing on some aspect of reality that you said, like you said, it's rarely given. But they said it's a concept or it's a theory, but then they say it's rarely given.
Yeah.
Because they can't say it's not given because we have so many examples of it.
Yeah.
So the point is we don't imitate. We just focus on what we've been given and we do, but we understand that's where you're going. You know?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point is, but if you don't follow the Vaidhi, you won't get there. But at the same time, is if you don't believe in where you're going, you're not going to get there either. So why does it have to be one or the other? So then the one is that we just stick to the rules and that, and we don't care about, you know, all this spontaneous aspects. So we just get, it's just the rules that make it happen. So you get that deviation onto the smarta. Or if the raga is valuable, then we should be doing that. Then you get the sahajya. The point is no. I'm at this point. I don't have spontaneous, because it's like you either have or you don't. It's obvious.
Yeah.
And if you don't have, then you follow Vaidhi sadhana. Right? And if you do have, then you're still going to externally follow Vaidhi sadhana. So no one will know anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's this idea he'll just be floating around and rolling on the ground in ecstasy and all that. That's our idea, because we're thinking, I'll enjoy that. But we see with, you know, the acharyas, you know, you don't see that happening. You know what I'm saying? In the pastimes is going on, but the acharyas, they're not doing that. Yes.
Also within that, there is the point that when the aprakat lila is manifest for a devotee, it's in two forms. One is that by meditation, which we saw, the mantra upasana mai. And the other is Swarasikhi by the spontaneous emotions in that. So the mantropasana by meditation, what you achieve is only a limited aspect within the complete pastime. You only see a certain feature on what you are meditating or like that. But Swarasiki pastime is like the full feature of the pastime. So the point is, like, when somebody says that we only concentrate on Vaidhi, we don't go to that, you're actually cutting off from natural progression. That's why it's like, it cannot be achieved, because you're not connecting to that natural progression of what you're supposed
to. That faith is not there. Because there has to be faith that that's where you're going, just like it's one of the symptoms of someone who's advanced, and that's when he opens Nectar of Devotion, and that's one of the first things, is that he has faith in attaining prema. And by Krishna's grace, if he follows this process, he will attain prema. There's not any doubt. You know, how long it'll take because of our lack of surrender or impurities, that's another thing, but they have no doubt that this is the path that will get you there. Because others say, I'm so unqualified, but then they're doubting the path. I'm unqualified, but there is still no other path. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I say, I'm so unqualified, I can't cook, and this and that, but still, cook someone by proper cooking, that's the only way you get lunch. You're not going to get lunch by sitting there and going, I'm so useless and unqualified, and sit down. Right? Since you're there doing nothing and unqualified, then you pick up the remote and, like that.
And watch somebody's having lunch.
Yeah, and watch someone else having lunch. Yeah.
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 Well, I just remember it's a really good point, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in commenting on Brahma Samhita, he mentions, he says, actually you start from Mantropasana Mayi, and if it develops naturally into Swarasiki, then it happens, because it doesn't happen to everybody, apparently.
Well, it means it'll happen to everybody, but not necessarily in their sadhaka rupa. That's the whole point, is that someone may, let's say, take up Krishna consciousness, then at a neophyte stage, they leave the body. But if they think of Krishna, they go to the Bhauma Lila.
Yeah.
They go to Gokul. Then in that, they're still a neophyte on the level of their consciousness and in connection with Krishna, but being in their spiritual form, there is no material connection. So now it's just a matter of, if you don't have the material body and situations and material association holding you back, how quickly you can advance. And then you associate, if you're serious about that association, then very quickly you'll get that association and come up to the platform of, associating with Krishna and everything like that. And if not, if you're just impressed by, how great your spiritual body and spiritual place and spiritual everything is, then it'll be slower. But then there are those who then, they come to the Madhyama platform, then those who come to the Uttama platform. Then Uttama is then where they might go from that Mantropasana to the Swarasiki. But it's only from the Uttama platform, it's not below that. Because like you said, you have a certain thing that you absorb yourself in, and that's what you see. The Swarasiki means you're in the dynamic pastime, like that. And so then you have those who, being in that platform, come up to the point of, they leave their body, due to vastu siddhi. So for them, they just go into prema, so they can just go straight to the lok. They don't have to go to the Bhauma Lila. But if you're anything less than that, you go to Bhauma Lila and come up to that platform. So that's why it says very rare anybody could do that. But it's not that there aren't those on the Uttama platform that aren't on the Swarasiki. You know what I'm saying? Because coming to that Samadhi, just being fully absorbed in Krishna, then it will be technically mantra-upasana. Mm. It'll be just a specific pastime and this and that, a particular element, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it may be at a juncture, it's kind of, these things are kind of coming into play, but, does that make sense? So, but that's there. But if you're here, then in the sadhaka rupa, then if you come to that uttama platform, then it comes to the point where then you come qualified that you can take part in the pastime. So the point is, swarasiki is what you're trying to get to. Whether you do that in sadhaka rupa or in your siddha rupa, it doesn't matter. You come to that platform. So all these things is not something to get rid of. It's something that, it's just like, let us say, just as a general example, father's a professor at the university, mother's a professor at the university, right? So when their kid is born and all that, then what are they thinking about? Right? You know, the school, the this, the that, and everything. So at a very young age, you know, the mother will be teaching him how to read and stuff like that. And so when he hits nursery school, he can already read, you know, and he can already do stuff. So, you know what I'm saying? And so the idea is he'll just naturally go through that platform. So that it's not, and so just because he's in first grade doesn't mean you say, oh, but you know, what do you call it, being a professor is so far away and that, so it's not realistic and all that, you know, we just do our first grade stuff and that's all we worried about. But the point is the people who go far is because in their grade they know where the goal is. You know what I'm saying? Somebody wants to get into this university, then already in grade school, they're already, you know, those lines they're focusing on. You know, if they're going for, you know, arts, their language will be really focused on. If they're going for science, their math will be focused on. You know, or let's say the parents are both doctors. You know, so then you're going to have the thing that they're going to be really into their math and all science and do really well, so that they get the marks that they can go through, get into the college they want, you know, and after that. So it's just, you know where you're going. So that's, if you say it's always too far away, this and that, we don't, that's how the common person looks at things, and that's why they're the common person. You know, it's not, it's common, that's there, everybody does that. But if you want to get something special, you have to see where you're going. You may not be meditating it all the time, but you know, I'm doing this to please Krishna, trying to develop love for Krishna. Something to us. So one has to have that understanding of where one is going. So this idea of that, you know, if I can't do it now, then it doesn't matter. Then the point is, if I can't make it cheap enough, I can do it now. In other words, if I can't follow the Sahajya path, and that's then the alternative is being a smarta. No, you just be a devotee. You know that's where we're going, but you do what you're doing now. You be intelligent. Self-realization means know where you're at now. So if you're not on that spontaneous platform, you follow the Vaidhi. And even if you're on the spontaneous platform, then those devotees always follow the Vaidhi anyway. Because what's wrong with following? It's service to Krishna. Why wouldn't someone on the spontaneous platform follow it? What's wrong with it? You know, you go to Mangal Arati, see the Lord at 4:30 in the morning and all that. What's the problem? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not that now that I'm on the Rog platform, then, you know, I go to the temple at midnight and expect to see Arati. Mm-hmm. You know, but in the past times, no one offers Arati at midnight. So, yeah, sorry, you have to wait till the Arati to Krishna is at 4:30 in the morning. In the past times, that's where the Arati is. There's another one when he comes back from the fields and the cows, and Mother Yashoda sees in the evening, so that's Sandhya Artik, there's one there also. So that's why Mangal Artik, Sandhya Artik are the main Artiks. Otherwise, in between, it's not described as having, you know, being an Artik, being a major fair. These are regular. The other ones, you know, like this. But in the Pancharatra, then they're worked in as part of the, you know, part of the worship and all that. So, yeah. Yes.
Also in Jaiva Dharma, when the discussion comes about this, then when Vichay Kumar asks Gopal Guru Goswami on the question that, so should I meditate on this Ashtakarya Leela with a mood to purify the pastime itself, with because that's the way he puts the question, that he says, then Goswami says, no, you cannot purify the past tense, but you need to see the past tense as they are moving. So the difficulty is when somebody who is not at the level of Swarasikhi, or he wants to force himself in that, mm-hmm. that's when then it becomes like a big block.
Yeah, it'll become a block.
And also Krishna says in that Uddhava Gita and also Kurukshetra, the main instruction to the gopis is this, that move from the prakat, you can think of prakat when you meditate on the Swarasika kind of past tense, when you see yourself in that connection. So the whole thing, there Krishna, by saying that I pervade all the objects, senses and all, he's saying that actually the aprakat abode encompasses the whole prakat lila, what you're seeing. So don't be just attached to what you see now. See which is beyond. And then the proof is that when you sleep, when you're in deep sleep, you can pursue me as Paramatma. When you are in dreams, you see my personal form as Ram Sundar, and when you are awake, you are seeing me everywhere. That's the proof.
Mm. Mm.
So that's how the explanation goes there. So seeing the aprakata lila, and then as it is, that's the essence, and then that's how the associates of Lord see the whole thing. And
they see there, yeah.
And if we bring our own perspective and limit the past time to how it should be to us, then as like...
Yeah, that's the whole point, is we're not controlling the past time.
Yes.
They'll think, I'll do this now, and then I'll do that, and then I'll go over here and do this, but then that means that's what you're doing. What's the past time? Krishna, his past time is him, it's being done to please him. So that's the weakness of the Sahajya thing, is that they're thinking, I'm controlling the past time. Here, I'll purify. By doing this and meditating properly, then the pastime, because, in other words, I can't see it, so the pastime is impure. When I can see it, then the pastime is impure. No, we're impure, that's why we can't see. You purify yourself, but means you're following the Vaidhi, so you're keeping yourself, on the all the platforms of body, mind, and words in a purified state. But it's actually the point of seeing yourself as a servant of Krishna, engaging, following the footsteps of the acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master, that one actually maintains that pure state. Like it's mentioned that in deity worship, the six kinds of purity, then one of them is purity, the mantra. Mantra is kept pure by us following the regulations of the process given by Guru. Then mantra stays pure. Right? Then we're able to do something. So if we follow the order of Guru, then we can do. But Guru didn't order us to sit down and do this stuff. Therefore, by doing what they're doing, that's how you get. It's just like, let's say you're sitting at the window, right? Big store. Fabulous display. You want something. Can you reach your hand and take it?
No.
No. You have to follow the process. Go into the store, go to the counter, ask for this or that, or pick it up, then pay. Then you get it. But this thing is, no, it's there, I want it. You can't have it. You'll never have it. So this idea is that it's there, and I'm going to go down to the Jamuna and get water, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to roll on the ground in ecstasy on the beach, and then I'm going to be walking and singing songs. It's like, what pastime are you in? It's just you doing what you think is interesting to you. How is it pleasing Krishna? What do they need water for? Why are you getting water? Who told you to get water? He said, no, but Vishwanath, he's bringing water. Yeah, they told him, not you. How are you assisting Vishwanath? Like that. And are you the one to assist him? No, that's going to be Jagannath Das Babaji, who said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur back then goes, come down here. What did your guru tell you to do? Well, he didn't tell me anything then. Chant Hare Krishna. So that's the whole thing. No, but why isn't he telling me? Because even he tells you, what are you going to do? You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you say is how you say. You can think about it. What you can do is like, you know, the little kids playing with their dolls, you know, and Barbie and Ken get married for the 15,000th time, you know, like that. You know, but what's happening with them? Are they doing something in marriage life or that? No, they're just playing. So it's not real. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not accomplishing anything. So we have to be very, very careful is that that meditation on the Lord isn't for the Lord's pleasure, just for our pleasure. It means you connect yourself to the Lord, you'll be happy. But the point is you have to understand that us being happy, that's just the normal state of the jiva because they're ananda. But point is that's 1/10,000th the tip of the hair of, well, it's actually 1/30,000th the tip of the hair is the ananda part. You know? And so that gives so much happiness. Imagine if that's connected with the unlimited, which is Krishna himself.
Yeah.
But it's not connected with him as the unlimited, because that's Vaikuntha. You know? It's connected with him as the person. And so then it becomes unlimited. You connect with the unlimited. But it's not about the connection with the unlimited. It's about Krishna. That's the thing. When you're worried about the unlimited, then you don't get. When you're worried about Krishna, that's where it's happening. Because it's like you experience something because of aparoksha. You know what I'm saying? I just let it happen. As soon as I observe it. Just like, let's say, you know, give you an example. You're in a nice kirtan, and the kirtan's really going, you know, wonderfully. The singing, the musicians, the dancing, everything's just going nice. No one's doing any, you know, anything weird. You know? Now, you're experiencing that. Now, if you turn to who you're sitting next to, wow, isn't this a great kirtan? You're not experiencing the kirtan anymore. Now you're talking about the past. That makes sense?
Yeah, I just missed the part on aparoksha. Did you mean pratyaksha or you actually meant
that? No, pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha. Aparoksha
so
means it's going on, and you're because aparoksha means no one's telling. You're just experiencing. You're experiencing the kirtan. This is wonderful. But as soon as you start talking, now you're dealing on the platform of paroksha. Wow, isn't this great coming? Oh yeah, it's the best ever, like that. Not as paroksha. You're not experiencing the kirtan.
Right.
You're experiencing talking about past kirtan.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
But you're not experiencing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that they sit there talking about this and that. They're not. Yes.
So basically the imperfections of one's own practice in the sadhana cannot be portrayed or forced in either saying that I can enter into the aprakat lila or saying that it's far off because I cannot not do it. That means it's far off. It
can't
be attained.
Yes, yes. You can't make it cheap and you can't say, oh, sour grapes.
Yeah.
You know, it's that it's just there and it's not for you. It's just like you study your ABCs now because otherwise how are you going to go to university? You know, and how are you going to do your postgraduate and hire, you know, like these, you know, unless you know like that, because they do read papers and write papers. So if you can't read or write, then you can't do those. And so then they do because they have a goal, but they're focused on what's now. You know, hence, be here now. Right. So that's the point, is that you can only do things in the present. But it's connected to Krishna, it's going to be nice, just like Haji is just connected to Krishna, so therefore they get something. But because it's about themselves, not about Krishna, how much are they going to enjoy? You know what I'm saying? The Sahaji is absorbed in Krishna, Sahaji is eating a sandwich, you know, that he likes. It's probably about the same.
I mean, you just calculate it. 50 sound. Or that's the amount of
the jiva. That's it. You know, which is still its spiritual spark, and it's very great. It's more powerful than the sun, like this. But compared to what's going on, that's why it's said that the happiness of the, you know, in serving Krishna is like an unlimited ocean, right? And liberation is a fraction of a portion drop of that ocean. And liberation is compared to an ocean connected to the material world. But not an unlimited ocean. You know, it's just like one of the oceans here. It's very big, but there's, you know, you have this side is the Pacific, you know, that means so we call it. You have this side is Europe and Africa, and that side's the Americas, you know, and so then you have that, and even that they divide it. This is the North Atlantic, and that's the South Atlantic. So that's considered the two seas. North South Atlantic, North South Pacific. Those are, that's four seas. So yeah, so like that, then it's huge, but it's still nothing compared to there. So you go from here and take it up through all the different species of life up to Brahma, then up to Brahman, and then that you can see, okay, that's big, but that's only a fraction portion compared to. So you're connecting to Krishna in any way, it's going to be nice. But at the same time, as if you want that dynamic interaction between Krishna and devotees, you have to follow the devotees. You can't just do whatever you like. Yeah, so it has to be a balance. That's the point. Razor's edge means it's in the middle. You know, so we have to be very careful about swing. You know, that makes sense. It worked for them in the 40s, but this is not right. Huh?
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.